Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Why do other countries think that Americans are lazy? I'm trying to understand this. I had a video that I created go viral on Instagram. And it's probably the most viral any of my videos have ever gone. It's like over 8 million views at this point.
Is this the school pickup one?
Yeah.
So yeah.
In the video, it's me sitting in school pickup line, and I had gotten to leave early, work early that day. So I was at school pickup 37 minutes early, and I would plan just to like answer emails and like kind of hang out in line and be the first person.
You thought you were going to roll right in.
Oh my gosh. I thought I was going to be the first person in line. I was going to be able to see the kids come out, and like, you know, my daughter was going to be so excited because like for once ever, mommy was first in line to pick her up, right?
Nope.
So I get there 37 minutes early, and there is a massive line of cars. So the reel is just basically me making jokes like, these people must have slept over here last night, or they drop off kids and they just get back in line, or they bring picnics and charcuterie boards and whatever. And a lot of parents can relate to that. But there's a lot of comments that come in, and people always have bad stuff to say. That's what people do on the internet, right?
Sure, of course.
So why can't your kid take the bus? Why can't your kid walk? And like,
oh, so spoiled, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
But a lot of times on these TikToks and Reels, it's people from other countries. And I'm always fascinated by what people from other countries write, because one, I can't believe how many people read and speak English and that our stuff is targeted towards them. It is. Mm-hmm. And two, so many of them automatically start writing about how lazy Americans are.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand why. Why are Americans considered lazy? I feel like we have to be one of the hardest working countries in the entire world. All we do is work, and they still label us as lazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of countries out there. We hear about how they take 2 to 3 weeks vacation every single year, right? It's like required. Or, mm-hmm. you know, they take a 2-hour lunch in the middle of the day. Or when the work is done at 4 p.m, they go home.
Right.
Or they retire at 63.
Yes. And like, you know, my husband, you know, spends time in Germany. He works for a German company. And
sure.
The same thing. They take multiple weeks off every summer. Like, it's nothing. He always says, he's like, oh, my team's off this week. I'm like, I don't understand. Why are they always off? Same thing with all my family in Italy. Like, they come here and they can't believe the work hours that we have. So why do we still have this reputation of being so lazy?
I don't know. I mean, there's certain things that you're going to have everywhere anyways, right? Too, like, you know, I mean, we also have that reputation of arrogance, right? And everybody from America is a cowboy or a Yankee, basically. I don't know. People get these perceptions going. I mean, you are sitting in your car in a line full of a bunch of other cars picking up your kids, but it doesn't mean you have to walk, you know, miles up and down the side of a mountain or whatever to pick your kids up from school.
Is that what makes us lazy? We don't hike
I guess
7 miles to pick up our children, and we just let them figure it out, roll all the way down the hill home?
I mean,
is that
our perceptions are so much more accurate. I mean, I picture everybody that's not here in a village.
Right.
They're all in a village.
If your kid goes to school in Norway, they are wearing knee socks right now and clogs.
And you probably don't have a paved road.
No. Who still writes in bathroom stalls? You remember when you used to walk into like a bathroom and you'd look in the stalls and there would be like things written in there and you're like, what? What?
It used to be the place that you would go to meet people. It was like an app, but in the bathroom. There would be stories shared about people from your neighborhood, possibly a phone number to reach out to an individual. There was all sorts of different things that you could find there in a toilet stall.
Raven, producer John, producer Sean, it would be like for a good time call, like that nonsense. Mm. I went to an IKEA and I went to the bathroom and I could not believe it because there was things written on the walls in the stall. And I was, first there was two things written in my stall and I'm like, who still does this? Yeah. So I took out my phone and took pictures.
Was it derogatory? Was it, you know?
No, it's so weird. So here are four things that were written inside my stall and the stall next to me.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. When the lights go out, you go out.
Oh, deep.
Why would you write that?
Well, or like
when it's
party
over,
time.
It's over.
Right? Like, or it's a Kesha song. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. When the lights go out, you go out.
You see what I mean?
Say it one more time.
When the lights go out, you go out.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, you know, you're a vampire.
Okay.
You go out at night.
Okay.
That's here's another problem. One. Everything you believe could be a lie.
Oh, that's that old one. Man. What if C-A-T spelled dog?
Yeah.
All right. There's that one.
Tinfoil hat.
Yep.
My favorite was, you are now entering September 3008. Because I was like, wait
time
a minute.
Travel.
Yeah, there's still IKEA in 3008. We haven't figured this out yet, how to put together furniture.
I think it's one of those things where all businesses become IKEA at that point, right?
And the last one I
like
saw.
Like all restaurants become Taco Bell.
Yes.
Somebody took a Bic pen out of their bag, walked into an IKEA bathroom, and was like, I know what I got to write. And they wrote, life is short. Enjoy it while you can.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm glad really? They're thinking of
why?
Me.
Nice.
You know, I mean, they're thinking of other individuals out there. They want to give you some perspective.
All right. I don't endorse writing in bathroom stalls. I think it's corny, and I think we've evolved from that, correct?
Okay.
But if you were to take out your ballpoint pen and write something on the stall.
The worst pen to carry, by the way, because you know it's just waiting to explode in your pocket. But okay.
What would be the thing that you write? Sean, you go first.
In here, there's always a full moon.
That's ridiculous.
Come on, that
ironic.
Was good.
No, that's
ironic, but also
I'm writing
accurate.
That on a stall today.
Yeah.
Today?
Yeah.
Do no, it,
you're going to find that in the corporate bag.
Right. That's the day that Sean gets fired.
Busted.
That's going to be good.
Right. Busted. Right.
John, what are you writing?
I mean, I feel like you got to get a great song lyric in there. How about, in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make?
Oh.
Can't go wrong with Lennon and McCartney. Sprinkle, sprinkle, baby. Look, sprinkle, sprinkle.
Look at Anna searching the inside of her forehead with her eyeballs right now, trying to figure out what it meant.
It's one of those things where I would have read it like six times. I've been like, what?
And been like, maybe it means this.
The literal last lyric ever sung on a Beatles album.
I just Googled it.
All right. How about when all else fails, try again?
Okay. One of those hang in there kitten posters.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's always good advice.
Sprinkles are for cupcakes and ice cream, not toilet seats.
Oh, okay.
That's disgusting.
Okay.
That is actually disgusting if you think about
it. It's instructional.
Accurate, but disgusting.
I mean, in a men's restroom.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What if there was a place that you could just let it all out? You know, what's bothering you right now? Maybe you saw somebody do something or post something, or maybe the person on the road next to you did something while they're driving and you're like, come on, buddy. Here's your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Megan.
One thing that I hate is when you walk into a room with someone and they need you to feel how they feel at any given moment. Like, just because you're in a bad mood doesn't mean everyone else needs to be in one.
Ooh.
Good one.
This is a good one. And you know what? I'm guilty. From time to time, I do this.
Yep.
I'm just moody. If I can be real, like, I'm just a moody person. And some days, I'm in a great mood. Doesn't matter what you throw at me. And other days, I'm in a cranky mood. And I can't even figure out why.
But I don't want to get brought down with your nonsense and your negativity.
I know.
Yeah, don't dim my brindle light.
I know. It's terrible.
I sympathize with you, but I don't want to come down to your level.
Right.
You know
agreed.
What I mean?
Right. You sympathize, but you're not here to empathize because then you're going to feel the same way as me. So get out of this room.
Yeah.
Save yourself. Save yourself.
Heather, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're in a dating app and your first message to me is just, hey, that's all I need to know about you.
Sometimes I'll get messages on like Facebook that's the first, they just write, hey.
Yeah.
That's how I know it's spam. But are those real people or are they spam people? I don't know too much about online dating, honestly.
I'm not sure whether it's that, right? Or maybe they're just trying to see if you're online right at that moment.
And try to get your attention.
Right. Maybe it's a hookup thing. Hey. What if I say it like that? Does it make more sense?
Are you going to spell it the same way?
Hey.
Heather, has any of those people ever panned out to be somebody real or legit or interesting or anything like that?
Nope. It's just a hey. And then they make never, it's like I try to even ask them questions, but they never respond with a question back. It's
right.
Just so, you know what I mean?
If somebody received a message from you at 2:30 in the morning and you were like, hey. We already know the answer to that.
We know where that's headed.
Exactly.
Yeah. James, that's all I need to know about you.
If you wear boots to the gym, that is all I need to know about you.
All right, let's go exceptions right now. Carpenters.
Yeah, I mean, what do you, you gonna wear sneakers? Are you going to wear your Timberlands?
Firefighters. All right.
What?
They need their boots.
Yeah, but not at the gym. They don't need their boots.
Maybe they're there for a response call.
I think sometimes you may forget your shoes and
right.
You're like going after work. So then you're kind of like in a catch 22. For me, that would be the perfect excuse to go home. Did I forget my sneakers? Yes, I did. Yes, I can't work out today. Oh, well, I showed up. I guess that counts for something.
Come on. It's arms and core day. We're
no.
Fine.
Arms and core day.
I just made it up.
You don't even know what that means.
What does it mean? It means up from here up, right?
It means arms and core.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean,
yeah. Perfect.
You don't know.
See? Don't need the boots for that.
Right. Remember the way you used to get punished when you were in school, like elementary school, middle school, high school? It's so different than the way they punish now.
When I was in elementary school, I swear they invented in-school suspension for me. I mean, it was only a K through like 5 or K through 6 school.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't really have to deal with that. But they also didn't know what like ADHD was at that point. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just like, this kid won't shut up. And they would just have me camp out by the office half the day.
Well, it's funny because my friend's daughter got in trouble and she mm-hmm. called me giggling and she was like, guess what happened? And she said, her daughter's name, we'll call her Caitlin.
Okay.
Caitlin got in trouble. And I was like, at school? She's such a good girl. And I was like, for what? She's like, I guess she was drawing little hearts on the corner of the desk. And first of all, I forgot about writing on the desk.
Yeah.
Remember, he's like, write on the desk.
All the time.
All the time.
Sure.
Right. So I guess the teacher saw her doodling on the desk. So she couldn't go out to recess and she had to wash all the desks in the class.
That's old school.
That is old school.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't even know that they still did that.
Yeah,
that's
it's like
so
community
funny.
Service when you get in trouble and you got to wash all the cop cars, right? Like, it's public. People know that you're doing it. They come back. They're like, wow, my desk is so clean. Oh, well, you can thank Caitlin for that
right.
because she did the entire classes.
I had to get the sponge, go, like, get the
yeah.
soap and, like, do it. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, oh, my gosh, she must have been so embarrassed.
Sure.
I was thinking about, like, the... How did I get punished when I was in elementary? I always got in trouble for the same thing.
Okay.
And that was that I was talking too much.
Yeah.
Remember?
Same.
Always.
Same.
Always talking too much. And you want to know what I want to say to Miss Polarotti right now?
It all worked out fine.
Look.
Right. Mama got a career.
Right.
Right. I got a job. You know?
But I remember that she, like, one of the teachers, she could, like, it was had to be fourth grade. I would not shut my mouth. And she would drag the desk out of the door,
yeah.
and she would put it right in the hallway, and I would have to sit there outside. And I remember just waiting for somebody that had to go to the bathroom.
Right, just to interact with, so you could talk to somebody again, too, right?
Right, in the hallway.
Such an awkward situation.
Yeah.
You know, I had that done to me a couple times, too. That's a good one.
Yeah.
It triggers memories.
I don't know. How did you get punished when you were in school? Jeremy?
Yeah, so I went to Catholic school. I'm a little bit older, so I don't think this is allowed anymore, but back in the day, the nuns used to hit me in the knuckles with a ruler.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think it's supposed to be like in the bylaws, but I got to tell you, if my kid's going to Catholic school, that's part of what I'm paying for.
They don't do that anymore.
Oh, come on. Really? Not at all? Because
no.
I feel like a good amount of discipline is good. You know,
there's not even a lot like, and I know it's probably depends on where you are, but I found that even in Hayden was in Catholic school up until this
yeah.
year, she's in public school, but there weren't even a lot of nuns that taught anymore.
That's because nuns will still smack you up if you get a little too rowdy because a nun ain't going to mess around.
Sister Petrina. I remember Sister Petrina, like, I don't know if she's still alive because she'd probably be 175 at this point. But you were terrified
See?
Of Sister Petrina.
Yeah?
She would come at you and you would just sit there in silence, stone-faced.
You know what? How many lessons did you learn because of your fear? I'm guessing a good amount.
I don't even remember what she taught, if she taught us anything. I just remember sitting there and being like, don't say a word, don't make eye contact, look straight ahead.
A valuable lesson to be learned.
It's wild when you think about it. The way you were punished as a kid when in school growing up, I was giggling because one of my friends told me yesterday that her daughter, who has, I don't think, ever been in trouble ever at school, got caught doodling on the desk and during recess had to stay inside and wash all the desks. And I couldn't even believe they still did that.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, and I think it's probably effective too. We used to have a teacher, he was Jamaican, I can't remember his name. Mr. Duncan? Was it Mr. Duncan? Mr. Duncan, if you were talking in his class, he would make you stand on top of the desk.
Yeah.
The whole class.
How dangerous.
I mean, right? Yeah. I mean, you couldn't get away with that nowadays. Forget it.
1-800-330-9999. Diane, what was the way you got punished in school when you were young?
Oh, I remember French class, high school, and the nun would separate the class into two different halves, the smart half and the dumb half.
Wow.
And I was put on the dumb half.
Wow. How many people were on the dumb half?
I don't remember. I just remember I had the first seat on the dumb side.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you were like the number one draft pick. Okay.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. Was everybody on the dumb side the cool kids, you know, air quotes?
No, not at all. My best friend was on the smart side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and yeah. The dumb side was just a bunch of, you know, it was a mix. It was a mixed class. She was just Sister Edna. I will never forget it.
I mean, Edna would be canceled nowadays. Like, there's no way you can call kids, half the kids in the class
smart
dumb.
Class. But you always knew what class you were in.
Oh,
you
yeah.
knew you were in the smart kids
yeah,
and
no,
the dumb
you knew
kids.
Which side you were going to be on.
Right. At least you knew where you stood back
yes.
then.
Right. Hey, Carol, what do you remember from getting in trouble in school? What happened?
I had a kneel in front of the classroom under the chalkboard with my hands behind my back. And I had to have my nose against the wall.
Unbelievable.
We're talking.
Is this public school or private school?
It was Catholic school, and there was, like, all those rows of desks and all the kids, like, eyes, like, nailing me in the back as I sat there for, like, an hour on my knees.
Well, you know what that is? Is that is the judgment of your sin drilling into your back. That's what that is.
I just wonder, do you think the teachers would have conferences and brainstorm these ideas on what to do?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I don't know, right? I mean, they learned terrible, terrible things somewhere, right?
Maggie, how were you disciplined as a kid in school?
Oh, my gosh. I have a few, but the one that really got me was there was a kid behind me, and I was in, like, second grade, and he was talking to me, and apparently I got caught turning around to tell him to shush. So the entire day, I had to walk around with masking tape on my mouth.
I mean, can you absolutely, I can't even fathom.
Yeah.
I cannot even fathom if I'm a stranger and I walk into the school, let's say I'm dropping my child off tardy or whatever, and
right?
I encounter a girl with her mouth taped shut.
Right.
Like, I'm calling the police. Like, I'm
but
not
no, even, you're very 2023. You got to think 1987. You know?
I'm going to get the police. We need them here immediately.
Maria, what was your punishment when you were in school when you did something wrong?
Well, this is going to date me, actually, but I had to clap the erasers together after school as a punishment.
Welcome to the 80s.
Yeah.
Welcome to the 80s. 70s, too, I would imagine. Were they still using asbestos in 70s? No, I'm just kidding.
Clapping those things together with a puff of smoke in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine now there'd be lawsuits. What was the way you got punished in school when you were growing up, Maya? A friend's daughter, who's never been in trouble, she had to clean all the desks and miss recess because she got caught doodling on the desks.
I mean, it's proportionate. It makes sense. It feels a little old school, but I bet you it's effective.
Remember when you used to have to write things over and over and over and over?
And sometimes you had to do it on the chalkboard, not on paper. Oh, it was brutal.
I wonder, when kids watch The Simpsons and they see Bart do it in the opening credits, do they even know what that means?
Do they understand
do
that?
Do they understand?
Right.
Yeah, Melissa, how did you get punished?
Oh, my God, I got caught chewing gum and they made me put it on my nose.
Oh, yeah.
That was a classic.
Yeah. The nose on the gum. Was it the entire class, the entire day? How long did the gum have to stay there?
It was supposed to stay all day, but as soon as I got out of view, I put it back in my mouth.
Yeah, you were just, you know, holding it there. It's a flavor saver.
Yeah. Hey, Pat, how was the way that you were disciplined in school?
Well, we were in East Harlem with the Catholic school. And if the nuns caught you shooting spitballs back in the day, they would take a garbage pail, give you those little blue booklet, the writing booklets that you used for tests, and you had to make spitballs the whole day.
The whole day.
Now, that was in the bad part. Back then, we didn't use ballpoint pens. We used the old ink pens. So when you got home and you had a blue tongue, Mom and Dad knew you did something wrong.
Ah, I see that. All right. It's like a scarlet letter that you took home.
Yeah.
Right. An indigo letter, if you will.
Yeah. Olivia, how did you get punished at school?
We used to get Saturday detention. Like, we had to go in on a Saturday and sit there.
I remember the first time I heard about Saturday detention, it was Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
It was the movie.
Yep.
And I didn't think that there was any way possible or anywhere that they did it because, you know, when the movie came out, I was in middle school. I had never even heard of it. And then I got to high school and I got a Saturday detention.
I don't think I ever went to a school that had Saturday detention. Mm-hmm. You had, like, they, that seems, there has to be like a moderator for it, right? Is it also the principal?
Oh, yeah, there was a person there.
Yeah.
A teacher, and, you know, it was usually like a sub, obviously somebody who got basically the short straw, and they were never pleased to be there. And there was no Ally Sheedy or Molly Ringwald.
Huh.
Nobody.
How long did you have to sit in Saturday detention?
Like 4 hours.
Oh.
Like a half a day.
Ours was like 6 hours.
Wow.
Ours was like six hours.
Just sit there with your head down? That's it?
No, they would give you work, all sorts of different stuff.
Oh,
it depended on who the teacher was that got stuck with it.
Terrible.
Yeah. No cell phones.
How do they enforce you to go? Like, how do they
if
make
you didn't
go,
you got another one. And then you'd be, like, out suspended.
I wonder if schools still do that.
Hey, Nancy, how do you remember getting punished back in school?
Oh, my God. I don't know if you guys can put this or not, but my sister was put in a closet by a nun because she wanted to go to our brother's play. He's in kindergarten, and only the lower grades could go, so the sister put her in the closet until the play was over.
I mean,
what if she escaped
right.
and they couldn't find her?
How long is this play? It has a couple of acts? Oh, my God. Like, she's in there half the day.
Wait. And there's another one. And that this was, so when you asked to get a drink of water, if you were talking too much in class, like in May or June, they would deprive you from going to the water fountain, and you had to forego your
I mean, that
water.
Is definitely not okay.
I remember asking to go to the bathroom and being told no, and I think back now, I'm like,
Yeah.
I would just hold it. I would have to just hold it and have to pee so badly.
That's unbelievable.
Right.
I mean, when you're locked in a closet in the dark, that's traumatic. I don't care if you're 12. I don't care if you're 22.
Yeah.
It's not cool. Put me in there now, though, and I'm taking a nap.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. The Jets are trending.
Hmm.
Not for anything good.
Bad news.
I wouldn't say all bad news. They ended up beating the Bills last night. So, I mean, that could be good news or bad news, depending on where you sit right now, whose side you're on. But
I got to be honest with you. I am not an Aaron Rodgers fan.
Me neither, but I'm fascinated by this.
I find him to be a little bit pretentious and all that stuff, but obviously he's very talented. I'm not a Jets fan, but I feel bad for the Jets today.
I don't know. If you believe a team or somebody can be jinxed, this is one of those things that'll make you be like, maybe this is real. So all eyes were on Aaron Rodgers last night. If you're not familiar with him, four-time NFL MVP, $75 million deal with the Jets, 2 years to go there. I mean, the Jets haven't won anything in a long time.
Listen, they're rightfully so more excited than they have been in literally decades for this player to be here. It's an absolutely huge thing. He has said and done all the right things in the offseason. And when they introduced him last night, Anna, the entire area was rocking. That stadium was shaking.
I mean, the tickets are so expensive.
Not today.
No.
Not today. Not after the Giants lost to the Cowboys like that and the Jets losing him.
Less than 5 minutes into the game against the Bills last night, he gets hurt. He goes into that tent. So it's like...
Four plays.
Yeah, four plays in. He doesn't come back. Here is the Jets head coach.
All right, I'll deal with the quarterback real quick. Concerned with his Achilles. MRI is probably going to confirm what we think is already going to happen. So prayers tonight, but it's not good.
I'm telling you, that coach, Robert Saleh, he used to be a coach for my favorite team before, so I was familiar with him before. He looked like he was going to throw up. The second that Aaron Rodgers came off the field limping off, he looked like he was going to throw up, rightfully so.
It's just one of those things that, like, you can't believe it. Like, you can't write that in a movie that it would happen like that.
It was horrendous. It happened like that. Didn't complete a single pass. It was a low contact hit. I mean, he got spun around. Maybe the foot got caught on the field. Not great. But you know what? He goes down. Zach Wilson is back in. That kid gets a reset, and they had basically shipped that kid off. So, you know, he's got a shot.
Do you believe in jinxes? So I went to ChatGPT, where I get all my important news.
Oh, good.
I'm just kidding. Right. I don't ever go there. But I was interested to see what it said.
Yeah.
Are jinxes scientifically proven to be real? And ChatGPT says there is no scientific evidence to support the existence of jinxes, curses, or other forms of supernatural or magical powers.
But do you believe that you can get in your head?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe in jinxes. I believe in curses. I believe in the mindset.
Karma.
I do believe in karma. I believe in all of that. I think what goes around comes around. And I think that there is something bigger than all of us that does it. Now, why they would take him out and ruin all these poor Jets fans that have suffered enough?
It's clear.
I don't know.
The obvious is clear. You don't know the answer?
What's the answer?
The answer is that while he was in that cave doing that ayahuasca or whatever, deciding what he was going to do with his life, he encountered a demon, and he's carrying a demon with him, and the demon does not want the Jets to win.
I thought it was weird when he was in the cave for so long contemplating this in the silence. If you're not familiar, he was in a cave. He went there to find the answers on what he wanted to do next. It was a silent cave. And I was like, oh, that's weird. But yeah, something happened in the cave. I don't know what happened in the cave, but it doesn't look good.
Sad news. But let's go, Jets. Let's go the rest of the team. Let's do this.
I learned something about high schoolers over the last couple of days.
Okay.
Right now, the boys are obsessed with not having creases in their sneakers.
To
the point where they walk like pigeons. And like bow leg, because they don't they don't want to get creases in their shoes.
I mean, this has been a thing for a while, actually, the creases in the shoes. Ever since sneakerheads really came to the, you know, the prevalent forefront here. I mean, these sneakers are worth so much money.
Yeah.
And if you get the creases in them, it kills the value. It cuts them like right in half.
It's so weird. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, they were my nieces and my daughter were showing me how they walk. So that they don't get the creases.
Yeah.
And I was giggling because I was like, they actually walk around like that? They're like, yeah, no, Ma, it's serious. They can't crease their shoes. And I go, what kid who's 16 years old is worried about reselling his Jordans in 2 years?
Well, I mean, when they're $200-$300.
Well, it's also just like looking stylish, you know? I mean, that was a big thing in like high school for me growing up, where a lot of people were like, you know, if you had like scuffed kicks, like people would just make fun of you.
And if you stepped on someone's shoes, that was a big problem. Like, you know, like I saw, like, you'd see fights break out at parties all the time.
I mean, everybody had a weird shoe thing too, just beyond that. Like, I mean, when I was younger in middle school or high school or whatever, you know, we had the super thick laces that you couldn't actually, like, you know, pull and tie. We had those. And then, of course, when Run DMC came out, nobody had laces whatsoever.
Right.
And then, you know, like when Snoop Dogg and Death Row came out again, same thing. No shoelaces because you're going to prison.
It was kind of like the 2000s. That was when skate shoes, I feel like, became a big thing, right? There was like X Games and Tony Hawk in the late 90s.
DC.
And then DC, Vans.
Yes.
You know, and like, Vans still very stylish, but back then it was all, they were just big. They were just these thick, enormous shoes, because to skateboard, you know, you scuff your shoes up really quickly, so it would need a lot of material. So you'd have these massive, fat shoes, and then me, like, 135 pounds in high school wearing shorts, like just these chicken legs sticking out of these monstrous clown shoes. Shoes,
like Timberlands.
With the cargo shorts that had 18 million pockets. That was the look. That was the look in 2003.
Yeah. I remember in high school, a lot of kids would actually walk around with, like, playing cards, like, sticking out of their shoe.
Yeah.
Because, like, we had, like, so lame, but they used to have, like, fraternities in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
That is weird.
I don't remember that. What year was that?
That's weird.
Between 2004 and 2007.
Wow.
Anna, if I named you a shoe, do you think you could correctly guess the decade of which, you know, people were going to school and wearing those?
Maybe, if they were my decades.
Two varieties, okay? So, L.A. Gear.
L.A. Gear had to be the early 80s?
Oh, no, it's 90s, man.
L.A. Gear was the 90s?
It was the 90s, the light-up ones, yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Remember when you used to have to pump up your shoes?
Yeah, so that's a good one. Reebok Pump. When would you guess that would be?
That had... I think I was too young for that. So that had to be the late 80s.
That's
right?
The late 80s, yeah. 1989, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. I feel like I remember that being a kid in the early 90s.
Yeah, they were still around in the 90s.
But you have to remember,
Shaq endorsement, it came out 89.
You have to remember that everything that's old is new again at some point. It just, I feel like the last 3-4 decades, we just keep repeating things over and over. Because I remember I was graduating high school when Uggs first became popular, because remember, they've been around for a long time, but they didn't really explode until Oprah put it on her favorites list.
They were only in Australia before that.
Only there. Only those sheepskins were there.
I learned something today.
Yeah.
Those were big in the era mid-2000s.
The Uggs. Yeah. Yeah. I remember, like, if you got Uggs, it was the coolest thing in the whole world, and I feel like it defined a generation in school.
Every single girl in high school was the Uggs with the juicy sweatpants. Yes.
Absolutely.
That was me.
That was my
matching
era.
Top too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a time machine we just discovered.
Oh, here. I'm going to go break out my Uggs. I know they're going out of style, but like, I want them back. They were cozy, and I'm never wearing socks with them. Never.
I was going to say, you know what's going to happen. Your feet are going to be sweaty.
And smelly. You always hear that your phone is listening to everything you say, and it's the biggest breach of privacy that you have. And I mean, sure, I'm sure there's definitely some elements of truth to that.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of truth to it. When you're talking about something and then 2 seconds later, it's on your feed or whatever. It's right there.
But they found that the number one thing that's gathering and sharing your information, and 92% of people don't even realize that it's doing it, is your car.
Feels like such a betrayal when you say it.
Right.
Like I have had... Like, your car is supposed to be your homie, right? Like, I mean, it is an area for you. It's a tool. It's a weapon. It's a sanctuary. It's all those things. I mean, think about the different things that you've done in your car, Anna. And if your car was talking to people about it, how embarrassing that actually could be.
Yeah. They tested, like, 25 different kinds of cars, Ford, Toyota, Volkswagen, BMW, Teslas, and most of them failed to meet the minimum privacy standards that a lot of places put forth.
Wow.
So, because think about it. Your car has, I mean, if it's anything updated, has speakers. It has recording. It can hear everything you say.
When you think about being updated, you think of speakers. It has a microphone.
It has a microphone.
Right, so it can listen to you.
It has cameras.
It has advanced computer systems at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So your car knows more about you than basically anything else that you own.
I think the cameras is really eye-opening for people because you don't think of it, right? When you've got, you know, like even my car has like smart cruise control and all that stuff. And it's surrounded by cameras. Yeah. And until somebody actually puts on the camera view, you're like, wait a minute. You don't think of it that way. You think of it as some sort of buzzer or sensor.
Imagine if your car was going to like tattle on you, was going to go gossip about you and spill the tea.
Right.
What would it say about you that it knows right now that went down? It's so funny, Raven, because yesterday when we were in a commercial break, I went down to your car.
Oh, yeah.
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 And I asked it about you. I said, psst, Raven's car. Can you tell me about Raven? You want to know what it said?
I can't wait.
Raven likes to nap in random parking lots and snores very loudly. He listens to a lot of Paula Abdul music and sing along at the top of his lungs. He also drops French fries in between the seats and then looks for them days later and eats them. It's disgusting. Oh, and his driver's seat smells like salami and sweat.
Wow.
I mean, I don't eat salami, so that one seems like a little bit of a reach and eating the fries 3 days later.
Does this make you feel at home? Does this make you feel good?
No, I'm more of a rush guy myself, you know? Well, it's funny, you know, Anna, it's not surprising to me that you were able to speak to my car because you drive and park so close to it every single day. But it turns out I leaned my head out my window and your car had some things to say, too.
For someone so focused on following the rules and putting their best foot forward, you park as if you're blind and my bumpers reflect it. You're always 1,000 miles past my oil change, and driving in reverse around the neighborhood won't get you back under the least mileage. There has been a half bag of cheese goldfish and a rotten apple under the right rear seat for 6 months. Anna, zap, wash me today or lose me forever.
Your car is pushing back.
Somewhat accurate, honestly. Yeah. There are things around your house right now that you got to throw out because they're not good for you. You're like, what? What are you talking about? Let's check in with the experts.
HealthWise with Dr. Wider, the Anna and Raven Show.
Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Jenna, like, what do I have to throw away that's going to kill me?
Besides a roommate.
or your spouse or your partner. The first one on the list of household items that need to be cleaned or changed or replaced because they can be harmful are these decorative pillows that are on your beds or couches.
Why? They cost a lot of money.
Because you never actually clean them.
You have to clean them, exactly. You don't have to throw them out, but you definitely have to clean them because they collect dead skin cells and bacteria over time, which definitely can cause or worsen your allergies and even promote, like, skin breakouts. So, you know, if your child or you are suffering from acne, it may be because they're laying on this disgusting decorative pillow that hasn't been changed for the last 7 years.
It does make sense. You know what? I was vacuuming the chair that nobody sits in besides my mom when she comes over. And the littlest dog. And there's a pillow on that chair. And the dog is so small that I couldn't see the underneath of the pillow. That's where all his fur had collected.
Oh, my God.
On the bottom of the angle that I couldn't see.
Oh, God. Yes. With pets, definitely. Things can accumulate, things that have bacteria. The experts recommend replacing pillows every 1 to 2 years, believe it or not. But there are things that you can do if you love your pillows. Some of them come with pillowcases, pillows that are decorative that we buy that are on our couches or our beds. You can take off the case. You may not even realize there's a zipper there and just wash that. Or you can throw the pillows, if there's no pillowcase, into the dryer on very high heat for 10 to 15 minutes. Every 1 to 2 months, and that's going to help disinfect those pillows and really manage dust mites that may be building up there.
Fry them. Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next thing are our loofahs and bath sponges that a lot of people love to use. They can hang in our shower. They may hang in the bath. Loofahs, bath sponges harbor bacteria, mold, and mildew in their nooks and crannies. You want to really watch this. They can trigger allergies, asthma, skin infections, and acne. Experts recommend getting a new sponge every 2 to 4 weeks or a loofah that is smelling at all you want to dump, but definitely replace every 2 to 4 weeks, which is a lot. I know that my husband has like some back scratcher that's been in our shower probably going on 2 years.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Burn that thing, Doc. What are you doing?
Bonfire time.
I mean, I don't know if we've been doing it every 4 to 6 weeks in my house too. It hasn't been 2 to 4. I would say certainly by 6. But, I mean, yeah, you've got to replace your loofahs.
Next is our nonstick pans. This is really, really important. There are a lot of interesting studies about nonstick in general, and a lot of people have geared away from that when it comes to cooking and gone with stainless steel, which is much safer, or ceramic pan. But if you are a fan of nonstick pans, which many people are, if you notice that the coating is starting to chip, it's absolutely time to throw out the pan and start fresh. Many of these coatings found on nonstick pans contain these forever chemicals that a lot of medical health experts and public health advocates are talking about that implicates many different health problems. And if you ingest those chemicals or you inhale them while cooking, they can cause damage to your immune system, all sorts of issues.
You know, that frying pan is a common one. We've got a pan right now that a little bit of that stuff is coming off. And now I realize that I've been having dinner with a murderer. So
exactly.
Thank you for the reminder.
Slowly killing you, your wife.
Yeah, now I need to pull that up and get a new pan ordered right away.
All right, good stuff. Looks like we'll be throwing away some things. Don't donate it. Just throw it away. Nobody wants your nasty pillowcase.
Burn that back loofah. Come on, Doc.
DrWider.com. Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks, guys.
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Mark and Rose. So, Rose, you have 2 children, right?
Yes, my daughter is 5 and my son is 3.
All right, and what's the problem that you're having?
So we bathe them together. You know, they're little kids, and, you know, why not have some fun time with your sibling, right? And they're totally fine with this, obviously. You know, 5 and 3-year-olds, they don't really know the difference, and they're playing in the bath. Mark is just not really comfortable with us doing this anymore. I say, you know, if they tell me, if you know, my daughter's 5 years old, she has an opinion, she can speak. You know, if she's ready to have her own bath, she'll tell me. So I don't see a problem, and I don't see why we have to stop them from doing this and having this playtime together.
Mark, what's your side of this?
Yeah, I mean, they're getting old. These kids are 5 and 3 now. When they're like 1 and 3, it was really cute, right? And I think my kids are getting too old. And my daughter is 5, and it's just like, that's when you're starting to like discover different things. And I'm uncomfortable with them taking a bath together now because she's getting too old.
Huh. My parents never put me and my brother in a bathtub together, ever. But I know plenty of my friends do it with their kids. I mean, it's a time saver, too, in addition to everything.
How many years between you and your brother?
3.
Okay. Well, you know what? I mean, my sister was considerably younger than me, so it wasn't really a thing that we came up with. Time consumption definitely makes sense to me. I mean, practically speaking, you get two for the time of one. That makes sense to me. I mean, if it was legal, I'd hose them off in the backyard. Why not? But, you know, on the other hand, I also get at some point that it is going to become uncomfortable. I mean, with siblings, you feel like the questions are going to come before it's an issue. But it's the conversations that they have outside of your household, too, that do raise a lot of questions from time to time.
I mean, it's kind of black and white. If he is 3 and she is 5, is that too old for your children still to bathe together? And what do you do in your house? Like, is there a rule? Like, when did you stop? Mm. And would it make a difference if it was sisters or brothers?
Same sex?
Yeah. You know, like, or if she was the younger one and he was the older one? I don't know.
Only one way to find out. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Is there an age when your kids become too old to bathe together? Is it 3 and 5 years old? That's what's going on between Mark and Rose. Their son is 3 and their daughter is 5. And Mark says, they're too old now. Why are they still in the tub together?
Yeah, he thinks it's gone on long enough. But Rose says, it's no big deal. First off, nobody has said anything to make it seem weird or anything like that. Plus, it cuts the time in half. And we just lead busy lives nowadays. When somebody has something to say about it, then we'll go ahead and stop it. But Mark just thinks, you know what? They're going to school. Forget it. It's too much now.
What do you think? Does it matter? 1-800-330-9999. Sam, whose side are you on?
So I don't see a problem with it. So I'm on her side. I have 5 kids, and if I was to give Enrique to a bath, I would be in the bathroom all night. So I think it's important that they also have a voice. You know, I've always asked my kids, do you want to take a shower? Do you want to learn how to do that by yourself? And when they're ready, they're ready. So I don't see a problem with it.
5 kids. I mean, I just put them in the pool, and they would have pool showers.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do group showers, or you're never getting through this life. You learn to live in tighter quarters, too, when there's 5 of you versus 2 of you.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Is there an age where your kids are too old to bathe together? Is it 3 and 5? Mark and Rose have a son who is 3 and a daughter who is 5. And Rose, she still gives them the bath together at night. She says it's easy, it's fast, nobody complains. They still have fun in the tub together with their toys. No big deal.
She's of the thought process that basically the moment it gets weird is when it'll get weird and when it'll stop. But Mark's like, you know what? It's already making me feel weird. It's time for us to stop this now. The little ones our daughter's going to school. Let's just eliminate these questions before they arise.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't actually know what I think. I mean, if it was sisters, no big deal. Brothers, no big deal. Brother and sister, I mean, let's call it for what it is. It gets a little bit odd. There's a lot of questions.
It changes the opinion for a lot of people, right?
Sure. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Cheryl, whose side are you on?
I think it's wrong. Boys should not. I mean, girls. Well, anyway, she's 5. And the boy should not be in the tub at the same time.
Okay.
She's older. She's 5. And then she's going to see things like, you know, hey, he got the little thing. And why do I have that? You know?
Yes, I'm familiar with the conversation.
Like yeah.
Hey, Jamie, whose side are you on?
Well, I'm on the woman's side for sure, just because I don't see an issue with that at all. And I wouldn't ever see an issue with it, I don't think, unless the kid spoke out and said, hey, I'm uncomfortable. But I had a brother. I took a bath with him until I was older than that. I will still take a shower with my sister if we really need to save some time. And there's no issue there because, you know, we're siblings.
All right,
I mean, just wake up 15 minutes earlier, but I'll put that out there. But okay.
Well, I don't live with her anymore.
But I get it. You know, when it's your sister, I guess it doesn't matter anymore.
Kate, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Mom and dad's side. I have 2 kids, boy and a girl. The whole deal was as soon as the oldest one starts school, separate baths, separate changing. And that's only because you're teaching the older one, like, specific personal space so they don't go to school and pretty much whip their pants down and be like, oh, who cares?
The first- verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Mark, our audience agreed with you today. It's the time to cut it off. If she's in kindergarten, and you know, you don't want her going to school saying that she still takes a bath with her little brother. So, Rose, now's the time to do separate. Or, you know, start teaching her to take a bath and shower on her own.
All right. I understand. We'll try something new in the house.
I'm glad your listeners are, like, logical and, like, reasonable people. Very refreshing.
On the one hand, I mean, obviously, it's great. You got the votes, and if that's how people feel, the consensus is, I guess that makes sense. On the other hand, it's like, have we gone too far with all these rules and all the things that we worry about? I always feel like, you know what, if the kids are worried, then that's one thing. But if they're not, I don't know. But you know what? The votes are with you, Mark. So, bath time just got another half hour longer.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
It's tied for 5 weeks on Can't Beat Raven. These are the last five contestants that have tied Raven with all five right. So Josh has his chance today, and it's worth $3,700. That jackpot is all thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains September 15th through the 18th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. All right, Josh, you ready to do it?
Yep, we're ready.
All right, Josh, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, man.
All right, Josh. You know there's going to be a lot of people rooting for you and a lot of people rooting against you. But you know what? This is your chance at vindication. Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He comes back in, gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yep.
Number one, Freddie Mercury's piano used to compose Bohemian Rhapsody, along with other items, sold at auction for $2 million. Bohemian Rhapsody was famously used in what movie featuring Michael Myers and Dana Carvey?
Wayne's World.
Number two, today is National Video Games Day. What is the maximum amount of people that can be part of a Fortnite Battle Royale?
16.
Number three, Drew Barrymore announced that her talk show will return amid strikes, saying it will comply with WGA and SAG strike rules. She shares a godfather with Gwyneth Paltrow. Hint, he's a director. Who is that?
Steven Spielberg.
Number four, Apple unveiled its new iPhone today. What number is it?
The 14.
And number five, tonight are the MTV VMAs. Who is emceeing the event for the second year in a row? That's time.
Yeah.
There. That's all right. Oh, Josh, I don't know.
Yo.
Here's the thing. The questions are very difficult because it's big money on the line. He only got two right, Josh.
Wow. Okay, not great. Let's see how I do. $3,700.
Number one, Freddie Mercury's piano used to compose Bohemian Rhapsody along with other items sold at auction for $2 million.
Yeah, well worth it.
Bohemian Rhapsody was famously used in what movie featuring Michael Myers and Dana Carvey?
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World is correct. Number two, today is National Video Games Day. What is the maximum amount of people that can be part of a Fortnite Battle Royale?
It's 100, right?
100 is right. I didn't think you would know that. Number three, Drew Barrymore announced her talk show will return amid the strikes, saying it will comply with WGA and SAG strike rules.
Mm.
She shares a godfather with Gwyneth Paltrow. It's a hint. Here's a hint. He's a director. Who is he?
Isn't it Steven Spielberg?
That's right.
Yeah.
Number four, Apple unveiled its new iPhone today. What number is it?
It's either 14 or 15, I think. I'm going to say 15.
It is 15.
Yeah.
And number five, tonight are the MTV VMAs. Who is emceeing the event for the second year in a row?
Didn't Nicki Minaj do it last year?
That's right.
Whoa, look at that. Did they put the new charger thing on the Apple, on the new Apple phone?
Yeah, I got to be honest, I don't even care. 33% of people don't care, and I usually am interested to see, and I feel like there's not enough things to change it for me to want to go get it.
It's just the camera and the battery, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
Ironically, though, my battery is starting to die quickly.
Oh, I have an 11. They send me emails telling me that I'm, like, in violation or something. It's terrible.
Josh, I'm sorry. He beat you 5-2, and those were hard questions today. Raven did really well. I'm sorry. It's going to get you another Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Josh, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $3,800 tomorrow, Anna.
Remember, you'll have your chance to play against Raven again coming up on Monday. You can sign up at annaandraven.com. Another Tied for Five player coming up tomorrow.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.